Peter, are the sea levels rising, and can we track that?
Yeah, sea level is always either rising or falling, George. It's never stable. It's rising now very slowly. It's only rising at the rate of 1 or 2 or 3 millimeters per year, depending on where you are. It doesn't rise at the same rate everywhere.
What causes it to go down, to fall? Evaporation?
Well, if you make more ice, all we need to do is cool the world slightly, and the ice sheets expand.
Okay, so, kind of like sucks the water out of the ocean. Huh?
It does, and exactly like that. And actually, the fastest rates of rise and fall are directly related to ice volume. The long-term snow ocean changes are based on plate tectonics. You can think of the oceans like a big bathtub, and if you heat the bottom of the bathtub, it's going to expand upward, and as the oceans expand up and the volcanic activity on the mid-ocean ridges increases, it pushes water onto the continents. If it cools down, the ocean rocks decrease in size and sea level goes down. But that takes millions of years, and what we're seeing now since the Ice Age has started are enormous changes in a century or two. The fastest rate recorded that we know of is 15 feet in 100 years. That's really quite a very rare. The whole ocean all over the world rose 15 feet about 7,000 years ago.
Well, that's not bad, is it?
Yeah. think about 15 feet if you're planning to keep San Francisco Airport in one place.
At that time, they didn't have the airports.
No.
They didn't have anything.
But let's just say that if we were to encounter another 15-foot rise in 100 years,
well, then we have problems.
So catastrophic.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the scenario has just come out where we could experience a 15-foot change in 10 years.
I mean, honestly, if it rose 15 feet when we didn't have anything out there, no people, nothing, big deal, right? What would have happened?
Not much.
Not much.
It didn't affect hardly anything at all. But as civilization has now covered the Earth, that's all changed.
Yes, dramatically. So what do you recommend, Peter? People aren't going to move. You know, some folks who are disaster preparedness folks have said, you know, move inland, go to different... People can't do that. They, you know, those who are working, they can't just up and leave. What do?
And look, virtually no one listening to this show, except the really young ones, is going to be horribly impacted in their lives. I think all of us and anyone who's really around in 25 to 30 years is really going to start seeing the more rapid rises that go up. But there's one scenario. I was actually contacted by the screenwriter for the movie Armageddon, and great guy, and he's really thinking about a movie about sea level rise really happening quickly. And the scenario that I told him about is something called ice sheet destruction. And we've just uncovered that this happened in Antarctica about a million years ago. The Antarctic ice sheet didn't slowly melt. In fact, it pushed itself into the sea, and we had about a 10-foot sea level rise in a year or two. This is like unbelievably catastrophic. And again, the ice sheet is now poised. It could do the same thing. And this is what has the climate people most worried. This is the single greatest catastrophe facing us, because a 10-foot sea level rise wipes out at least a quarter and maybe more of world agriculture in one fell swoop.
10-foot rise goes in how far inland? What do you think?
Well, that's just it. It depends on the topography. If you're sitting up against a mountain chain, not very much. But if you say the Great Valley of California, it takes out a great deal of it. But the scary thing, George, isn't the rise itself. It's the fact that sea level, for every inch of rise, sends salt sideways into soil many tens to hundreds of feet. So when you are having a 10-foot rise, yes, you've covered over a lot of good farmland.
Wow,
you've
good
also
yeah.
salinized out hundreds of more square miles that aren't covered by the ocean.
You've rendered it useless. And what do you do to any drinking water that could be in the area?
Well, that's the end of the drinking water, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's just no, unless you do desalinization, and we know how expensive that is.
But you said that folks who are generally listening to this program don't have to worry too much about it. But what about their kids or their kids' kids?
Yes, they're going to really worry about it. Now, it's not going to be the worry of, oh, I'm going to die. I mean, that's laughable. The sea level is so slow that you'd have to be a pretty immobile slug to be drowned by the rising sea level. But it's the economics of it. Look, we just saw what happened when some bad loans went through the system in America. And all of a sudden, we have this depression which does not go away. Now, let's imagine that, say, 25% of our gross national product is now being expended on seawalls around all the ports and harbors and all the great cities to try to stave off the sea. Because, look, this is not just a strange vision. This is happening to Holland right now. They're spending over 10 to 15% of their gross national product every year on dams, dam maintenance, and building new seawalls because they are rapidly losing the sea level race. Or ask Venice what's going on there because they are as endangered as any place on the planet. So our kids are going to be dealing with the taxes necessary to raise port facilities, to build the seawalls, to try to save the ark treasures in the cities that are now being hit. And look, if salt goes sideways in agricultural fields, it also goes sideways into metal structures that humans have built. And the final thing is, think of a sea-level city with all of the infrastructure and the buried electrical cords, all the various transportation systems, the sewers, the subways. Salt water entering those systems is catastrophic.
Okay. Craig Venter, I call him the father of the Human Genome Project. You say he's one of the most dangerous men in the world. How come?
I was at a TED conference where he spoke, and I got to speak at the same conference. It was really a great treat to be at one of those. But he stood up and told us all about his ability now to create an alien, which he did. He took a modern, very small bacterium, and he did some tinkering, as people did, inside it, and made it so this particular bacterium used an amino acid that no other Earth life uses. We all use the same 20 amino acids. You know, we think of the diversity of life. Well, the diversity of Earth life is one. I don't care if you're a bacterium to a human being. We have the same genetic code, the same amino acids, and we're the same stuff. He, for the first time, or the first time since life probably first formed 4 billion years ago, has produced an alien. So if you can produce an alien to show that it can be done, you could produce an alien that no modern drug could touch, but at the same time could be the most fearsome bioweapon ever produced. I asked him this question in front of 500 people. I mean, we had some pretty amazing people there. Paul Allen was there, a bunch of Hollywood people, mm-hmm. Bezos was there. And I said, look, what about the offensive capability? And he laughed at me. He said, oh, no. We could catch any sort of weapon immediately, but, you know, that's insane. A very good offense, a rapid offense, there's no way a defense can catch up. If you engineer these things to be as catching as a cold, let's say, and have it so you've got this new amino acid going into your body, which your body does not have any idea of how to deal with, you could have a mass killer beyond belief.
Oh, if they make an alien virus monster and they can't create a way to stop it, we're in trouble.
Well, that's exactly what he is capable of doing.
That's scary.
That is scary, and this is why I've said I think you're the most dangerous person in the world. But this guy, you know, he
is he still tinkering?
Oh, you've got it right, because he told us, this crowd, that look, there are two ways to become the richest man in the world, and I could do both of them, or I hope to do both of them. One, figure out a way to biologically engineer fuel so we don't need oil anymore, and secondly, figure out a way to biologically engineer cheaply human food so we don't have to worry about crops. If someone could all of a sudden produce more cheaply food and energy, that would be the richest person in the world by far.